How can we turn America around? Well, one heart at a time, including those who are governing us in Washington, D.C. Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is George Roller. Since the year of our Lord 2003, George Roller and his wife, Linda, have been ministering in Washington, D.C., including to a lot of congresspeople and their staff. Initially, he did it with the D. James Kennedy Center for Christian Statesmanship, and now he continues the same work with HopeToTheHill.com. George, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, Jerry. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Sure. All right, so you were called initially in 2003 working at the Center for D. James Kennedy, and it's my understanding, in D.C., and it's my understanding that one of the things you learned early on is that while we think congresspeople and the senators, you know, run everything, House members and the senators run everything, and in reality, there's a lot of 20s and 30-somethings that do a lot of the actual work. Tell us about that.
I would be happy to, because your listening audience needs to know that it's the young people who are really running our country behind the scenes.
Oh, that's why we're in such a mess.
The members of Congress have the vote, but they cannot be expert on everything. And so they hire all these young people to do the research on the various bills, on the various topics. And so when a member of Congress goes to vote, he's always accompanied by one of these young people who was the expert on that issue. And so he'll say to the young people, now, how am I voting on this? And the young person will say, oh, sir, you're in favor of it, or you're opposed to it. Oh, thank you, says the congressman. So, of course, if that young person guides them wrongly, that young person will lose his or her job. But they're very careful to reflect how that member of Congress is philosophically and politically, and they will advise them accordingly. So, yes, it's the young people then that are really running the country behind the scenes. And so we get the pleasure of sharing Christ with those young people as well as with their bosses, the members of Congress.
Wow, that's interesting. Okay, just to put this in perspective statistically. Okay, we know, of course, there's 100 U.S. senators, 50,
yes.
Two from each state, and then there
Correct.
Are 435 members of Congress, I believe? House of
that, members. Voting members, that is correct. 435 voting members of Congress.
Okay, and then roughly how many of the would there be of these 20 and 30-somethings that we've mentioned?
Probably about 20,000 of them.
Wow.
And they are the brightest and the best from around the country. They are drawn to Washington, D.C. as a magnet. And so we get the privilege of ministering to these young people.
Are some of them future House members, future senators, maybe?
Statistically, absolutely. We know several members of Congress who started out as an intern on Capitol Hill and then was offered a full-time position as a staff person. And then later, after obviously being bit by the political bug, they would go back to their home, often run in local politics or state politics, and then run to become a member of Congress. And so that pattern has been repeated over and over. So, yes, we are training future members of Congress.
Huh. Okay, now tell us about Jesus and Capitol Hill. Is he active, you know, through people like you?
Well, it's interesting that you should say that, because our ministry helped bring about a screening for the Chosen,
yes.
Their Christmas special,
yeah.
And we actually were able to get Jonathan Rumi, the actor who portrays Jesus in that series, to come on Capitol Hill, and of course, with the hair and the beard, he looked like Jesus, and various members of Congress in an elevator would see him and say, "Ooh, you're Jesus." So, yes, we represent, besides having the actor who plays Jesus here on Capitol Hill, for that pre-screening, we represent Jesus Christ. So we share the gospel. Our ministry is twofold, to the evangelistic component, where we share the gospel of Jesus Christ with members and with staff, and then for those who already have faith or who come to faith through our ministry, then our job is discipleship, to help them grow and mature in their faith through Bible studies, through training and evangelism, through prayer meetings, through fellowship, as iron sharpens iron, we like to have fellowship with these people to encourage them.
Now, I don't want to get into politics per se, but I would hope that at least in some cases their politics would change if they come to embrace Jesus Christ. I mean, for example, there's a, you know, maybe different issues on some parts of economics and some of the details, but when it comes to something like abortion and life, there really is a difference, you know, between the Christian view and the pagan view.
You're absolutely correct. There is a definite difference. However, what our job is to build a relationship, to be able to earn their trust, to be able to share the gospel. And so if a member of Congress or a Hill staffer tries to get us off onto political debate, we steer clear of that because Jesus died for people on both sides of the aisle. And so we avoid the political confrontation. However, if a person asks me, what does the Bible say about a particular subject, such as life, et cetera, I will direct them to the Bible and I'll let them make their own conclusions. But to answer your question a little more thoroughly, we've had one member of Congress, I won't say which party, but it's a party that often votes for abortion, became a Christian through our ministry and went to Bible college, but he's still a member of Congress. And he told us recently that he was going to have to buck his leadership and actually vote for life because of his conversion to Christ.
Wow.
So, yes, we are making a difference. Yes, there are many forces on these people in Congress to satisfy their superiors, the people in charge of the party. But our encouragement is that they would stand strong for Christ and obey Christ rather than their party directives.
Well, now, George, you've been working at this, as I say, since 2003, and your wife's been a big help as well. Tell us more details about how you actually, you know, how do you make an appointment with a congressperson or even with their staff? I mean, imagine, I'm sure they're all real busy.
Well, that they are. Members of Congress have incredibly tight schedules. But because I've been here for so long, I already know many members, and many members will introduce me to other members. So that's a tremendous advantage. But for an initial meeting after a new Congress has been sworn in, we will do like any citizen can do, which is to get an appointment with the scheduler. And we pray beforehand that the scheduler will allow us to meet that member, because the scheduler's job is to be the gatekeeper to sort out whom the member would really want to speak with and whom the member would not want to speak with. And once we then get an appointment with the member, we begin to share who we are. We begin to share that we are a nonpartisan ministry and that we're seeking to know how we can assist them spiritually. So instead of coming to them, asking them for something, either to vote for or against a certain bill, we're coming there to say, how can we serve you? How can we pray for you? And so that's a very disarming statement to them. You see them physically relax, smile on their face, and many times they will begin to share their faith testimony, which is the wonderful door opener for us to be able to go further with the gospel. And we seek to determine if they already have faith, then we want to help them grow. Or if they do not, we ask permission, of course, to ask them a couple of spiritual questions. And then if they permit, we will go ahead and share the gospel. And I'm very grateful to D. James Kennedy for all that wonderful training and evangelism explosion.
Well, you know, it's funny, just by way of full disclosure in this discussion, George, you and I go way back in 1985 when I first came to work for Coral Ridge Ministries, now called D. James Kennedy Ministries. You were my first EE trainer. And, man, you had to drive so far to participate in that. It was amazing. I mean, you were living down in Miami, Coconut Grove. It was crazy.
Yes, that is correct. And you were a very good student, Jerry. I want to compliment you, and I'm very proud of you. But I actually couldn't finish answering your question. Prior about how we get in, getting onto the schedule with members of Congress, in order just to go in and meet staffers, we kind of have to have a reason. And so our ministry has been blessed with a wonderful relationship with a major film company producer that produces a lot of Christian films. And they give us, they donate to us, the latest Christian film every quarter. We are able to deliver a DVD of that Christian film to that office. And so we have a reason to go in. And then once we're there, and we're the only group that gives out anything like that, once we're there, we begin to talk, visit with them, find out who they are, find out who's open to having coffee, whatever. So it's a wonderful device for us to have a reason to go into the offices, because they are so busy, as you said correctly, and so they don't want people just to come in to just wander around and be tourists in the buildings. So we have a purpose because we have something to give them.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, how receptive have you found in general people are on the Hill, especially like congressmen and senators, when it comes to the gospel? How receptive?
Well, Jerry, these people are just like everyone else in the world. They have a spiritual vacuum that has to be filled only with Jesus Christ. And so even though they have very high positions, they still have family problems, they still have marital problems, problems with teenage children, etc. And so they have great need. And the young people that come, they also are disconnected from their families back home, their churches back home. They're very lonely sometimes. And so we fulfill a need because they see that they can be honest with us and transparent with us because we have no political agenda to use against them. And so they open up and they welcome having close relationships. And so in answer to your question, because we provide the need for community and fellowship, and we truly care for these people, and they recognize that, they are generally very open. When we say, how can I pray for you? How can anyone get upset about that? Even if they don't believe in God, they know that we are offering to do something very kind for them and very thoughtful for them. And so in general, I would say most people are quite receptive to our approach because we come in offering to come alongside them, to encourage them, to pray with them, and to pray for them. And so that's very disarming. And so even though they may deal with many people who are argumentative and trying to force them to vote one way or the other, we come in as a breath of fresh air, seeking truly their own benefit and welfare.
Hmm. Okay, we have about a minute and a half left of this discussion. Are there Bible studies going on in senators' offices or congressmen's offices or among these 20-somethings?
I think your listening audience would be very encouraged to know that there are many Bible studies going on. And we're not the only ministry on Capitol Hill. There are others. And it's a huge ministry field, and so we're not in competition with one another. We encourage one another. But, yes, we offer Bible studies and luncheons for the Hill staffers. We offer barbecues in the evening for interns. Mm-hmm. So we do offer Bible studies for those that want to grow. But even some of the Christian members of Congress offer Bible studies for those in their office that want to come. Or Hill staffers will offer Bible studies for others. So there are many Bible studies. I want your audience to know that God is alive and well on Capitol Hill.
Wow. Okay, we have about a minute left. Is there hope for America, George?
Well, it's interesting. Our ministry is called Hope to the Hill, and we truly bring hope to the Hill. And for example, we, this coming fall, will be providing Christian concerts on Capitol Hill for members only and staff, where Christian artists will come and donate their time. We do the organization, members of Congress will sponsor the rooms, and we will be providing Christian entertainment during the week when members are without their spouses who are back home in their districts, and they're pretty lonely, and they need fellowship, and they need encouragement. And so our ministry is blessed to be in a position to be able to provide that encouragement.
George Roller, thanks for your time. HopeToTheHill.com. That's hope2thehill.com. Thanks, George. All the best.
Always a pleasure to talk to you, Jerry.